The Huddle with Rich and Artie. Live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Not all unaccounted for. Rich with the day off. Brady's here. Jason's here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on today?
I'm doing great. Rich doesn't really have the day off, though.
Well, he's not working today.
He is working. He's just not working here. He's in Fairhaven doing high school football tonight for the playoffs. What? Fairhaven and Milton.
What time does that start?
7.
It starts at 7, but he can't be here at 3 o'clock. Is that what 4 o'clock? Is that
takes
what
an hour and a half to get to Fairhaven.
Okay, then let's do it again. Let's do the math, my friend. Let's do the math.
Now, you understand he needs to be set up at least 20 minutes to a half hour
early. Let's do the math.
So that's instantly 6:30.
Okay, so if you work till 5, let's say he does 1 hour, you leave at 5, takes you, an hour and a half, you said there?
That's an hour and a half with zero traffic.
All right, so that's 6:30, and then you're set up. Boom, plenty of time.
What if he runs into a problem setting the stuff up?
Or traffic.
You get paid by the word again today. I see that, huh, Jason? Unbelievable.
Traffic.
What traffic? It's a Friday.
Shelburne Road traffic.
No traffic on a Friday. Come on.
I'll say it's an hour 50 to get to Fairhaven today.
Well, then I'm going to say we gave Rich the day off then.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say. Rich, you do have the day off. If you're not working from 4 to 6, then you do have the day off.
He's probably listening to us, so he could text in. Although he'd be driving, so don't text in.
A great night at RJ's last night, was it not? Oh. It was packed. Absolutely packed.
Yeah, we had a great time. The Labatt tailgate party last night, a rousing success. Everybody was there, too. I mean, we were there. Jess was there. Your wife was there.
Yep, yep.
Ken Kreitz was there with the real fathers of Shelburne. They were there hanging out. And
I didn't get to meet the real husbands of Shelburne.
You didn't meet them?
I didn't meet them. I saw Ken there, but I didn't get to meet the real husbands of Shelburne. Yeah. How were they?
They were great. Yeah. One of Ken's buddies almost won some money and then didn't.
Really? I just picture a bunch of guys in like bow ties and stuff.
No,
not like that.
They were wearing flannel shirts with their collars undone and eating wings.
Wow, really?
They were really unkempt for the day.
You mentioned my wife was there because that's part of the story because I was sitting at a table. The place was packed. There was no table.
There was no place to sit.
No place to sit. I happened to have a table. I was sitting with Jason. You know, my wife was sitting. You know, sometimes people get up. They sit down. They get up. They sit down. I'm sitting there, a bunch of also empty seats, and I see these girls. They're checking me out, looking at me, of course. And
probably not true.
Definitely not true.
These are like 21-year-olds.
No, they were a little older.
They worked at the hospital.
They worked at the hospital.
I thought they were college students.
No.
So did
no,
I.
No. So I waved them over and said, come sit with me, girls.
So that's why your wife was holding your hand all night because she was sending the message that you were taking?
Yeah, I was taking. You understand that. But Jason, did I not say that? The girls came over and about 4 or 5 of them sat out down. Did they not?
No, you did. It worked well.
Worked well. I mean, I've got the charm, Brady. I've got that charm. You know what I'm talking about? You can hear it in my voice. So I get the girls to sit down. You know, I throw on, I got the gift of gab.
You did get the girls to sit down. That is true.
I did. And then I say, Jason, let's go. Let's go. Come on, Jason's a single guy. Let's start hitting on some of the girls. And Jason must have thought I meant just give them prizes, but that's what he started doing. I wanted you to talk to them. You
know? I did, and I decided the one I talked to I didn't like very much.
Let me explain to you.
I hope she's listening.
Any girl you talk to, you better like, all right? That's all I can tell you. You better like them.
Anybody?
Any girl you talk to, all right?
Just not my girlfriend.
Yeah, just not his girl, but I mean...
Or Arnie's wife.
Right, but what happened? You were talking to her and you didn't like her attitude or anything like that?
I didn't like her attitude at all.
Was she a little stuffy for you?
Stuffy's a nice word, yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's leave it. Well, she was cute, was she not?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm looking
it's
for...
It's not all about looks, Arnie.
It's not all about looks.
It's always about looks.
He's got some
depth. It's always
depth.
About looks.
He's got... Then how did your...
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
I'm a good-looking guy. I got silky smooth skin, and I'm a good-looking guy. You know
maybe
that.
Maybe 25
he used to be
years
bigger.
Ago.
Yeah.
You've seen the pictures of him, Brady, right? Yeah. He used to be a lot bigger.
But I had hair, too. I also had hair, so that was always better looking there. So, I mean, you let them get away. I'm just wondering. I think it's time that we started taking Fix Jason up on the Town Fair Tire text line. If any single women are listening, is that okay, Jason, or what?
Yeah, sure.
Single women between the ages of
21 and 99. But I don't want to discriminate against anybody. I don't want to discriminate against anybody.
Between 21
and 99. No, I'm being serious. 21 and 50?
Jason, are you
willing? Sure, 50.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Jason, are you willing to be the other man? Or they have to be single?
What is that? Ooh. No, they got to be single. They could have a boyfriend. I mean, you could be somebody's boy toy or something like that if you want. But no, no married girls out there. Look, if Jason's a nice guy. If you're a single girl out there and maybe you want to go have lunch or something, Jason will pay. You know, not McDonald's, right? I mean, something a little bit better than that.
Yeah, Burger King. Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
Go. Wow. So 802-655-6672 is the Town Fair Tire text line. And like I said, any women between the ages of 21 and 99, we don't want to discriminate. I mean, look, we could find a very nice 99-year-old. And you know what? Chances are, not to be mean, you probably wouldn't have to date her very long. So, that's horrible.
This is why people don't like me.
This is exactly why people don't like me. So, Town Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672. And I can see they're just scrolling in now. So, we'll go ahead and do that. We'll see how many women are going to go. You're looking at me like you want to kill me, right?
No. I'm excited.
Looking at you like, I hope it works.
Yes.
Yeah, I hope it works. You got me a place to live. You're doing good so far.
And by the way, that's how I met my wife. I don't know if you guys, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I used to set myself up on the blind date of the week in Phoenix, Arizona. And
I know the story.
Yeah.
Arnie tells the story like I've never heard.
Well, no.
I know some of our listeners.
He's throwing it on the air.
Some of our listeners maybe have never heard. I've heard it like, can I finish the rest of the story?
Yeah.
Can I just see if I can finish it right?
But you know what happened? I was dating girls that were like working at strip clubs and stuff like that. I was dating one girl that was an Arizona Ice Tea model. She was Indian.
But then Beth calls into the station.
Yes.
She goes, I've got tickets to the Phoenix Suns.
Actually, it was her sister that called
up. It was her sister.
Yeah, it was sister that called up and said, I've got a sister that has tickets to the Suns. I said, I'll go out with anybody with tickets to the Suns. So we went out, and I told her after like our second night, I go, don't get used to me. It's not like we're getting married. I'm dating some hotties around Phoenix, so you know, I'm big star out here. Don't get used to me. So
what I want to know is if you actually told her that.
I did. I told you. She said that. Yeah, I told you.
That. Why did she keep going?
I don't know.
Were her prospects that week?
That must have been that. Exactly.
So, Craig in Essex says, Arnie's game is silky smooth like his jump shot. Speed dating for Jason?
That's a good idea. Speed dating.
That works for me.
That way, if you do speed, what is like 3 minutes a person or something?
Yeah.
That way they don't get to see your deficiencies within 3 minutes. I mean, you're out of there. And they'll say, wait, does he have any deficiencies? They would have no idea.
And then Eric in Milton goes, anybody who can eat 11 hot dogs and win the hot dog eating contest deserves a nice girl.
Bingo!
That's my pickup line if I'm you.
Yes,
or that's my go-to line.
Yeah, had 11 hot dogs.
Hey, Jason, tell me about yourself. I can eat 11 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
That is a great pickup line. Seriously.
They were jumbo dogs. Do I mention that or leave that out?
You don't know what a big star Jason is. Last night when we left RJ's and we were coming around the corner where the Manhattan Pizza Pub is, the guy was yelling. But first of all, he loves Jason. The lovable goofball. And then he said, hey, are you still out 1/4 billion people per month?
So, that's what he said to you.
That's what he said to me.
Did he mention me or Rich at all?
His name is Preston. He was working at the Manhattan. Let's give him a little shout out, Preston. And yes, he listens to us all day long.
Good.
And he just wanted to know if I was still out 1/4 billion people per month. And he thought that was funny. And he goes, yeah, Jason, yes, I don't hear you a lot. And of course, Jason had to go into his like routine on why he wasn't there a lot, like anybody cared. And then you got to do your whole routine.
We had a whole conversation about being honest, Arnie. I was honest.
But yeah, but before the show, I asked him, did anything happen after RJ's? And he acted like nothing went on, right?
Your wife texted in, I had plenty of guys at that time, too. Arnie was persistent.
Wow. I didn't know that. Remember, my wife asked me to marry her. You understand that, don't you?
Yes.
I didn't.
She makes all the decisions. I know that.
Yes. When we got married, this is the last thing I'll say. My father taught me, they said in 50 years of marriage, my father said when he got married to my mom that he would make all the big decisions in life and my mom would make all the small decisions in life. And in 50 years of marriage, it was never a big decision. So there you go for that. Brady, what do we got on the show today for crying out loud?
We got a lot coming up today. It's our last day of getting an ESPN qualifier. We'll have the winner on Monday. The Patriots and Jimmy Garoppolo, did they ever actually exchange contract numbers, disputing reports? Thomas Junot of ESPN, the magazine, he joins us at 5 o'clock. He co-wrote the article on Tom Brady that came out earlier this week. Brandon Lang, 520, Power Play, 535, and trust me, after we dumbed it down last week and nobody won, I tried to dumb it down even further this week.
We took away a question. You only gave 9 plus a freebie.
I gave 9 questions plus a freebie.
I don't know.
But the way he wrote it is a question. I just want to point that out.
I know that. I'm wondering if we have to keep it to just like one answer. True. just like all true or something like that. My wife was yelling at me that we still have not dumbed it down enough before the show.
We really can't do any better.
Did she not say that? Did she not?
She did.
Yeah, she was yelling at me over that, Brady.
I mean, I really wanted to do like, so the Red Sox had their, you know, started to name some of their new staff. I really wanted to do like Tom Goodwin, Ron Renicki, or neither, but they said it was too hard.
Oh, that was too. I thought you were going to say Red Sox color uniforms are red.
Yeah.
True, false. You know, stuff like that. You can't.
Well, alternate jerseys. Yeah.
Well, you see, that's what I'm talking about. You've already made it too hard. So there you go. Let's get to Robert Kraft and what's going on in the case with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick, you know, is suing the NFL for basically collusion on keeping him out of the league. Well, now he's going after individuals. Robert Kraft is one of them. Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, and Bob McNair, owners of the Cowboys and Texans, respectively, after Kraft, they will have their phones deposed. They will have their cell phone records taken in conjunction with Kaepernick's lawsuit. So basically, they're trying to pull out all the stops to prove that these owners had a hand in keeping Kaepernick out of the league.
I don't know what the cell phone records are going to prove. You're allowed to call other owners. You and I could call you, but you have no idea what we're talking about.
I think you'd be looking for text messages or emails.
Right, well, three things they're looking for. They're looking for emails. They're looking for text messages. They're also looking for group chats and group calls, like conference calls. Still, though, even with the conference calls, you can't say what the three or four or five of them on a conference call would have been talking about.
This is what's
unless they're going to lie.
This is what's interesting to me. For my first thought is that are these billionaire owners, Kraft, Jones, McNair, are they dumb enough to leave a paper trail?
Yes.
You really think so?
Oh, absolutely.
So
we've had some of the best businessmen in the world that are dumb enough to have done horrible and dumb things.
So that was my first question. Are they dumb enough to leave a paper trail? And then second off, I learned this. So I was under the impression all along, you have to prove that 32 owners colluded to keep Kaepernick out of
the
league.
That's correct.
It doesn't appear that that's the case, though.
No, I said that from the very beginning.
In the NFL collective bargaining agreement, collusion must be shown to have taken place between a team in the league office.
Right.
Or between multiple teams. So if Kraft, Jones, and McNair, just those three of them, said, let's do what we can to keep him out of the league, then I think Kaepernick's lawsuit has a better basis than I initially thought.
Oh, I mean, didn't the NBA collude to make sure that NBA rookies or first-year freshmen are not allowed in the NBA? But that's a whole other story. I'm not even going to open up that whole can of worms.
And the other thing is, I think they're going to talk to the owner of the Ravens because they openly talked about Colin Kaepernick. The Seahawks, Paul Allen, they worked out Kaepernick in the summer. You wonder then if at that point where the Seahawks work out Kaepernick, did any of these owners say, hey, Paul, in our best interest to not have this guy signed on your team? You wonder, did those kind of things happen?
I don't think the owners really care what they say to each other. I think there's
that is collusion, right?
I think there are rogue owners out there. What I wanted to ask you, and I'll put you on the spot, I know you probably don't know the answer off the top of your head, but
I love those situations.
Well, Major League Baseball got busted for collusion, right? Didn't they a long time ago? I'm just wondering how they were able to prove that, and what was that case? Because I don't remember that off the top of my head, and was it one particular individual? I don't know what they colluded against.
I don't know. Jason's looking it up right now.
But they did. They were, I believe, found guilty for collusion. That's the only time I think in sports that was proved. So I'll have Jason look it up because I'm really not sure. It was a long, long time ago.
I just wonder if any of these, Jason, you got it?
1985 through 1987, there was owner collusion in Major League Baseball.
But what?
About what?
Yeah, exactly. What were they colluding over?
Referred to. Oh, it's referred to as the gentleman's agreement.
Right. No,
that we know what collusion is.
Right. We just over what though? Was it to keep somebody out of baseball? Was it to keep owners?
I'm going to have to try to
look it up.
Look
it up. I knew it. See, what 85? I didn't know how. And remember, that was 2 years that they had to prove. I just don't know how you could do something like that. And boy, that must have been real tough to prove.
They wanted to hold down salaries.
It was about free agents not changing teams and.
Well, that's not one person. You're talking about a whole league, so that's going to be tough to kind of keep that on the wraps.
They also, this was actually not intentional, but they did get in trouble for sharing what they were offering free agents. So they were now that was an attempt to be I would actually think that would not be collusion; that would be oversharing in some ways. But
wow,
so that was something that happened.
That's a long time. So I guess you can prove it. I don't know how they proved it, but I guess you can prove it.
I'm just interested to see, did Robert Kraft, did Jerry Jones, did Bob McNair tell Paul Allen, hey, you're working out Colin Kaepernick, please do not sign him. We do not want you to sign him. It's bad for business if we sign him. Did they, just the three of them, get together and say, we will do everything in our power to keep him out of the league? And my other question for you is, we got this text yesterday, and I wanted to bring this up yesterday. The Texans have lost Deshaun Watson for the season now. They need a backup quarterback. They signed Matt McGloin. They signed T.J. Yates. Right. So it doesn't appear Colin Kaepernick's in play for them.
T.J. Yates, former Texan, so you can make a case for him.
Yes, but it doesn't appear Colin Kaepernick is in play for the Texans, right? We can agree on that?
That's true.
So Bob McNair is in a lot of trouble for what he said about the inmate comment last week.
Right.
He's going to be remembered as one of two people. Is he the guy who made the inmate comment that reignited the racial discussion again? Or is he the guy who puts it to rest by trying to sign Colin Kaepernick? In a PR 180, signing Colin Kaepernick is good for Bob McNair and the Texans. Do you think he would have looked at that?
People are going to read through that. Also, you know, first of all, a year from now, you're not going to remember what the hell he said. I'll say, what was that? Who was that owner that said that? You'll say, I think it was Bob McNair. Nobody, that's not going to remember. The only reason we're making a big deal about it now is because of all the social unrest going on. Jason, we're not going to remember that a year from now.
Jason, if I asked you 2 years ago which NBA owner made racially charged comments, do you
Donald
remember?
Sterling.
So you remember that.
No. What he did was, that was more than just racially comments.
Do you think a lot of people even remember that Donald Sterling was in big trouble?
We've moved on past Donald Sterling. We made him sell the team. That's the difference. We're not going to make McNair sell his team. His comments weren't so crazy like what's his face?
Like Sterling. But I'm just asking you, do you think most of the population remembers, and if what Donald Sterling did was worse, do you think most of the population remembers Donald Sterling's name?
They remember Donald Sterling's name because he was an owner of a franchise that had to be sold. Just like you remember Marge Schott's name because of she had to get rid of the Reds, right?
Yes, she did. I don't know that many people remember her name either, though.
Well, because she collected Nazi memorabilia, though. she was way off the top. She used to let her dog Shotzi run on the field and poop on the field. But that's beside the point. I don't think McNair really cares about that. Just like when Jerry Jones wanted to get Pepsi instead of Coca-Cola and all the other owners screamed at him like bloody murder, he doesn't care. These owners don't care. And if they wanted to get Kaepernick because it could help them to win, they would have. They just don't want this SOB on their team. Because of everything, you know, I think it's about the socks depicted police as pigs. And I think what his girlfriend had to say about the owner's wife at Baltimore. Is that who she made the comment about?
Yes.
Okay, so I think because of those reasons, he's not in the NFL. And, you know, there's other people that have protested and kneeled down, and they're in the NFL.
First generally gets credit in
a lot
of ways.
He's not even the first, real, though. We found out Marshawn Lynch was the first, right?
Yeah, well, the guy who brings it to light is either the guy who gets credit or the guy who gets blamed.
All right, we'll get to more of that. Brady, tell everybody what's coming up next.
So Major League Baseball TradeRumors.com, MLB TradeRumors, one of my favorite sites, they put out their top 50 free agent list.
I saw that.
And they've got the Red Sox getting three of the top 50 free agents. Who are they getting, and does it make sense?
And I said your story about another one they may get, and that's not even on the list there. So we'll get all into that Red Sox cut up. We'll get to some Yankee stuff also. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's the huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Rich on his way to call. What game is that now?
Milton at Fairhaven.
Wow. And Jason, you got some, you calling the finals in soccer tomorrow or something like that?
Yeah, the boys and girls finals.
Can you tell us the teams or you don't remember?
The boys is St. Jay.
Well, think about that. Get back
I
to
just
us.
Hope you're
I'm
lost.
Sorry, Saint, yeah. I'm sorry. St. Jay and South Burlington, and the girls is CVU and Burnburg.
So when you do soccer play by play, do you just say any passes, any kicks, any passes?
And they're
kicks,
running around.
And they're running around, and he kicks some more.
And it goes high.
Oh, and there's a shot. It's 50 feet to the left. You got to use the accent.
Yeah. Beautiful save by the keeper.
There's only going to be three, so there's only going to be three saves that somebody. You just say kick, and they're running around the field like crazy.
And then you talk in your accent, and you talk really fast, so no one can understand you. And it goes.
I was going to say, how many O's need to be in the goal call?
Oh, for the whole second half, there's no chance there'll be another goal. So you let that one go along all on. So, he kicks and they kick and they kick and they kick and they run around and they kick and they kick some more. And that's all you have to do.
And you say it's football.
Yeah.
Here on the pitch.
Here on the pitch, yeah.
You don't even have to go. You could tape it tonight, and Brady could just play it back. He kicked, and then when there's a goal, just play, goal! Yeah. And do that, but there's nothing else that's going to happen. Chris, the Mets fan, sent it on the Tom Fertitta text line, saw my post on Facebook because it was my son's birthday. He's 20 years old. He goes on to say, is it anything to do with Shea Stadium? Yes, that's why I named him Shea for Shea Stadium.
And wait, Jason, let's finish the rest. And if it was a girl, it'd be Madison for Madison Square Garden.
That's right. Madison for Madison Square Garden. You like that? You
know we what could I, do a show as Arnie.
You know what I like about us, Arnie, is what? That we've been together long enough now, just like any good coupling, yes. that we can finish each other's sentences.
Yes, well, because I tell the same stories over and over again. Well, it's the same ones.
Do you think, you know what, I'm starting to feel a little insecure in our relationship. Yes. Can you finish my sentences like I can finish yours?
No, because he doesn't
listen to you.
I don't listen to you. So I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. No, but I tell the same stories over and over again. So, yes, I named him Shea for Shea Stadium. Yes, so you got that one right. All right, Doug, let's get to some Red Sox trade rumors. I'm not always, I love offseason trade rumors. I'm not excited about the three or four that you got listed down there, so go ahead.
So MLBTradeRumors.com put out their list of the top 50 free agents. And look, it's hard to believe the hot stove league officially kicked off the mid 9 a.m. after the World Series ended the next day. So top 50 free agents, the Red Sox projected to get three of them. Number 2, J.D. Martinez. Number 15, Logan Morrison. Number 25, Brian Shaw. Martinez, an outfielder. Morrison, first base. Shaw, a relief pitcher. Arnie, I figure I'm going to have...
And who's the one I gave you?
You want it? Well, Eric Hosmer, they reportedly might target also. Eric Hosmer, the first baseman from Kansas City.
Right.
So I know I'm probably going to have more thoughts on this than you, but what are your initial thoughts when you hear that they're going to get 2, 15, and 25?
Yeah, I like Martinez only for the... But the problem is there, and I like the home runs, but you're going to have to pay a heck of a lot of money. So that means there's going to be like one or two people that you can't get or that you are going to have to get rid of
but
or
see,
run that.
No, you're right on that, but that spits in the face of what you told me all summer about, oh, go get Verlander. Who cares? Yeah. You're going to pay a lot. It's the same thing.
I wanted to get Verlander because we're coming. Well, first of all, Verlander won the Astros the World Series, so I was right on that one, was I not? I was 100%.
You were.
You can't argue with that success that the Astros have. It's hard for me to say. I usually don't look in the contracts, and I hopefully. If you get Martinez, what does that mean? Jackie Bradley Jr. is gone? Is that what it means?
Well, somebody's going to be gone, and that's why.
It's got to be him, right? Who else are you going to get rid of? It's not going to be Benintendi, right?
Yeah, so, it's probably. Well, what would happen? The only thing you could do. Martinez is a poor outfielder. He's not a good outfielder.
Which doesn't bother me at all.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm saying to you then, here's what's going to happen. I don't think they can get.
What is he just going to be a DH?
I finish my thought?
Yes, go ahead.
I don't think that they can get both Morrison and Martinez as this predicts.
Right.
Okay, because you are right. There's excess pieces here. I like the defensive outfield that the Red Sox have right now. Betts, Bradley, Benintendi. We agree on that. Defensively, that's the best outfield they can have.
Right.
But if they get Martinez, fine, then he plays DH. Then that forces Hanley Ramirez to play first base, which means that you can't go get Morrison.
Right. I understand.
Because
right.
So
well, I knew you were only going to get one, Brady. You're only going to get one of those guys anyway.
Well, they predicted him to get all three.
No.
They predicted him to get both Martinez and Morrison. So you're assuming, I'm predicting that you're assuming one of two things is going to happen. You're going to trade Jackie Bradley Jr.
Right.
And Martinez is going to play the outfield.
Right.
And you're going to lose outfield defense. And you're going to substitute power for outfield defense, or you're going to have Martinez be the DH, and you're going to try to move Hanley, who has 2 years left on his deal.
Well, I was wondering who's going to play first base. That was my number one priority. There is what I was going to do with that. That to me is my priority. Am I wrong about that or what?
Well, the priority I think for the Red Sox, and we've talked to Tom Karen and Buster Olney and Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, the priority is get power. So however you can get power. I think the answer is probably if you're going to get Martinez, then you're going to have to trade Jackie Bradley Jr.
Absolutely.
And then you're going to be able to go and...
He might not be bringing much on the market like you think he's bringing. I know you think he's
I think
bring
he can
a
bring
lot.
You back a prospect. If you can
That's
get,
it.
If you can get... If Martinez plays the outfield and Bradley's gone, then Ramirez can stay the DH, and then you could go after Eric Hosmer or Logan Morrison, as they suggested.
See, how much is Hosmer going to cost you? Is that's a lot of money?
He's 28
is
years old. He's going to be looking for a 6-year, 100-plus million. He hit 318 this year.
If I sign him to that contract, doesn't that make me a hypocrite? Because I just yelled about Pedroia, and I yelled about Sandoval, and I yelled, who's the other? And Price? I mean,
yeah, I mean, this is what you're, this is the risk.
I can't give six-year contracts, though.
This is why, as I have said, the biggest thing this team needs to do is replenish its farm system.
Well, I was going to say, how much is Martinez? How many years do you want me to give Martinez?
He's 28. He's like 28 or 29
also. So I got to give back-to-back six-year contracts along with the Price contract?
You're not going to get both Hosmer and Martinez. You're not going to get both of them.
Well, you told me I can get two of on that list. So, I mean, I'm just substituting one of them for Hosmer.
You're not going to do both of those. If you're going to get Morrison, they projected him at 3 years, $36 million.
All right, that's more acceptable.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask, are you both primarily focused on hitters over pitching? Because to me, the biggest thing the Red Sox need is pitching.
You got
to
have a first baseman.
Well, they don't have a first baseman right now because Moreland's a free agent. So Moreland's a free agent. He's gone. Hanley Ramirez, if he can be healthy, then he can step in and play first, but then you would still need a DH,
right?
So that's fine.
Which is what you would get Martinez for, right?
In that case, yes. If you're confident Hanley can play first, then Martinez can just hit for me and play DH, and I can keep my defense intact. If you're confident Hanley can play first base.
But you're not going to give me Hosmer and Martinez.
You're not going to get Hosmer.
Because I would like both.
But you're saying I'm not going to give six-year contracts to each of them, which is what it's going to take.
I wouldn't give six-year contracts, but that doesn't mean the Red Sox won't. And if you're going to get rid of Bradley, well, that's a long-term contract you're getting off the table.
He's not a long-term contract.
He's going to want one, though, right?
Yeah, but you're probably going to get rid of him. He's probably going to be gone anyways.
Exactly.
Because you're going to choose Bogarts and Betts.
Exactly. So that's a long-term contract you're saving.
And so don't you see now, though, why I talk about valuing the farm system so much? Look at what the Astros have right now. Jose Altuve's got 2 years left of team control because he was kind of the first group of this. Springer, Correa, they're under team control for 4 or 5 years in some of these cases. These guys are loaded, and they're young because they developed through the farm system. They didn't have to overpay like
here's
this.
Here's the problem with your theory there, okay?
There is no problem.
No, there is.
To enlighten me.
What do you think the Red Sox fans would do if they had to go through what the Astros had to endure of 100 losses in a year? You just fired your manager after back-to-back AL East championships. You think any manager has a chance of surviving with 100 losses in a year? Zero. They wouldn't even make it through the year, Brady.
You're right about that. I'm not saying that it's 100 losses that they need to incur. I'm saying that you need to not be so gung-ho on trading for the Tyler Thornburg and giving up some of those prospects. You need to not be so gung-ho on trading anything you have for Justin Verlander. You need to not go after Giancarlo Stanton and all this and give up Devers and others.
What did they give up for Verlander?
They gave up three top 15 prospects.
Let's see what they do next year. I want to see how many of them actually make the big club, how they play. We follow what's-his-face for the White Sox.
Moncada.
Let's. You know. Well, he's
none of them
anyway,
are as close as Moncada.
Okay.
Is to the pros.
So then, you know, what am I giving up then? Really, what am I giving up?
The last thing I'll say on this is the one name we haven't mentioned here is the reliever Brian Shaw.
Right.
If they could get Brian Shaw, I'd be happy with that. Jason says pitching is the biggest thing, even for a team. It's crazy. The Red Sox had the best bullpen ERA in baseball last year.
Right.
But I know bullpens are so volatile. And think about this. I remember a Mariners team that. Two years ago, missed the playoffs by one game on the last day of the season. And they had the best ERA in baseball out of the bullpen also. And everyone said, man, the Mariners are going to be great next year because they've got that great bullpen. And then the bullpen did what bullpens do,
and
they finished 15th, and they ended up finishing under .500 the next season. You can't just bank on the Red Sox bullpen being as good as it was this year. You cannot count on that.
Well, is Kimbrel not coming back? Do I not know something here?
No, Kimbrel's coming back. But you just can't count on the fact that the team is going to have the best bullpen ERA in baseball. It's too volatile. Bullpens are too volatile. They're too fragile. If you go get Shaw, I would endorse that. Fortify that bullpen any way you can because you can't predict that they'll do what they did last year.
What, eighth inning setup guy? Seventh inning because they got Addison.
Well, he's a free agent.
Oh, so he's not even coming back then?
No, he's not back. I mean, unless they re-sign it, but he's not back.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Wow. Was Matt Harvey's not a free agent?
No.
He's got one more year left on his. See, that's why I said they should have traded for him. You know,
buy low candidate.
Exactly what I was just about to say. Buy low, sell high. Plus, he had 2 years left on a contract. That's why you would have gotten him at the middle of last year. And you don't have to pay him bupkis until he's a free agent. That's exactly what you do, man.
So, to recap.
Yeah.
I'm all in on them going after Brian Shaw. I love that move in the bullpen potentially. And as for the position players, I like Logan Morrison. If he is a 3-year, $36 million player, he had 38 home runs last year, and he walked in 14% of his plate appearances. He can get on base.
You ever watch like American Idol or something like that, or X Factor, and they go, or when Simon says he's got that the wow factor or something like that? None of these guys give me the wow factor.
Well, JD Martinez had 29 home runs after being traded.
But you know what, though? Even if you asked Red Sox fans to text on in, None of them are going to say, whoa, I'm going to run out and buy myself some season tickets right now. That's not going to work. None of these guys, like if you brought in just like a Verlander or something, none of these guys have the power or the name cachet where people are going, yeah, I'm really feeling good. There's no wow factor here. Am I wrong about that? Except for Martinez, and I don't even think he's a wow factor.
Outside of a handful of young stars in baseball, do you really think outside of 10 players in baseball there, I'm going to buy season ticket guys? Mike Trout, if your team got Mike Trout.
You may be right about that.
If your team got Mike Trout or Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutchen a couple of years ago, those guys are season ticket guys. Maybe Manny
Machado. Not even McCutchen.
Maybe, no. Not now, but right, a couple years right, ago. Right. Manny Machado maybe, but those not too many. Nolan Arenado, not too many guys.
So I shouldn't look for the wow factor here.
You shouldn't look for the wow. You should look for productivity.
All right. Do we want to get to the Yankees real quick? What's going on with them? Anything? Are they going to make any moves or what?
Well, the same thing. MLB trade rumors had the Yankees pegged at only getting two of those top 50, and they're not two that are going to impress you. CC Sabathia coming back, and a catcher, Alex Avila. And I think you can take this one of two ways, Arnie. Either, wow, this Yankee team that finished so close to getting to the World Series isn't going to do anything. How is that possible? I look at it the other way and say, I look at it the other way and say the Yankees are in such a good position, they, for the first time in a while, don't need to go out and overspend.
Why? Wait a minute. All right, explain to me. They're in such good position. Who won the AL East the last 2 years? Wouldn't the team that won it over them be in such good position
also? The Yankees are in a better position for the Red Sox than the Red Sox for about the next decade, I think. Their farm system has been so good.
Mick in Grand Isle. Stanton would do it on the wow factor there. Though, I'm not.
Stanton's one of the 10.
How much do I got to spend on him?
Well, he's got 10 years and like $200 million left.
I'm going to have to pass on that. I'm sorry.
But you'd have. So not only do you get that money, you'd have to trade Devers, Benintendi, and others probably.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pass on that type of contract. I'm sorry. So maybe 6 years don't look so bad.
He got like a 13 year. He's got like $240 million. He's crazy.
How do you come up with money like that? You know, how our team's coming up with money.
I think we got a call.
What do you want to do, Jason? Who's on the line, Jason?
We got Eric from the waterfront.
Eric from the waterfront. You're on the 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Eric? Oh, Eric.
Jason, did you press the button to bring him onto the show?
There you go. There we go. Eric.
Hey, I'm here.
Talk to us, Eric. Talk to us.
All right. I'm at the Fletcher Free Library, so if I sound like if I'm in a tunnel, it's because they don't let you talk when you're in the library.
All right. Go ahead.
So I was born in Minneapolis, grew up with Kirby Puckett, Ken Herbeck, Gary Gaetti. You know the whole scene.
Yeah.
And you know, every year, now that I've lived in, you know, I worked for Costco for 11 years and all that, you know, UVM, Fletcher Allen, blah, blah, blah. I've been here 20 years, but every year the Yankees kick my Twins' ass. Excuse my language. Anyways, Brady, thank you so much for bringing up the fact that the Yankees, with two outs, they scored 13 out of 21 runs. That was a great stat because people can't pull that off very often.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And you're getting an echo. We're going to let you go on that. He's getting that echo on there. We talked about two out hits weeks ago.
I just think the Yankees are in a position now where they
what makes them in a better position than the team that beat them out twice? That's what I don't understand.
Younger. They have so much money coming off the books. They are younger. Right. They have top prospects being that are up here and ready to contribute, paying no money. They have now a better bullpen than the Red Sox over the course of a season. They will.
So you know what? That's really not Farrell's problem there. That was Dombrowski. If you're going to talk about, you know, and I mean, if you want to be honest,
you want an interesting little story.
Yeah, interesting little
side note. JD Martinez asked out my girlfriend back in the day.
Oh, get out of here!
Yeah, back in the day.
Where's he from? I mean,
well, I don't know where he's from, but he used to play for the Valley Cats of the New York Penn League.
Oh, look at you!
So he was out in Albany. And this is before I knew her. She was out at, I don't know, restaurant, bar, whatever. And J.D. Martinez asked her out, and she said no.
Oh, those damn minor leaguers.
If only she had known, she could have had a guy that's about to cash in for 6 years, $150 million instead of me.
She would have dropped you like a heart attack, for crying out loud. By the way, Tom Fair Tire text line, Stan's deal's very backloaded, about $280 million left. Tough to trade for knowing that. That's Paul in Milton, so... Yeah, I don't think I want to go ahead and pay that. I'm not going to go ahead and do something like that. Brady, what is coming up next?
What's coming up next? Patriot news. Did the Pats ever actually offer a contract to Jimmy Garoppolo? Because now we're hearing they didn't.
No, I thought they did.
Now we're hearing they didn't.
Wow, I want to get to that. That's coming up next. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The huddle when you drive home.
Yeah, I'm free!
Sports Talk lives right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Rich got the day off as he's calling the game tonight. What is it going to be? Milton at Fairhaven. So that's going to be starting at 7 o'clock. We also have Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Thanks to our friends over at Eco Bean and Greens. We really dumbed it down, Brady. We didn't have a winner last week, though, and we dumbed it down to all proportions.
I mean, last week, one of our questions was football's played in the football field.
I know.
True, false.
And we still, how many? We went through like 7 or 8 callers, and we didn't get a winner.
We didn't get a winner.
That's embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
If we don't get a winner today, we may have to cancel the game. I mean, I can't make it any easier. Arnie spelled with an A. And you still wouldn't get it right. Well,
some people think your name is Ernie, right? Or Artie.
You see, that's why I got to make it easier. Anyway, so we got Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeper, the country, Brandon Lang, Thomas Juneau of ESPN, the magazine. So we have a lot to get to in hour number two. Let's get to that Patriots story. They didn't offer Jimmy G a contract?
People are saying. So we heard that the Patriots were doing everything they could to try to keep Jimmy Garoppolo.
By the way, look, I was going to say, I heard, and this is a fact, that the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo was pulled the trigger by Belichick. That Kraft, I guess this is the rumor, you never know if it's true, that Kraft says, "Jay, you do what you got to do."
Yeah, well, we'll ask Thomas Juneau. But we like that better, right? Because the other option is that Kraft came down from high and said,
Brady
needs to finish his career here.
Right.
You have to get rid of Garoppolo.
Right. You know, I was listening to Eric Dickerson talk with Colin Cowherd today. And he was talking about how he was with Robert Kraft and how they were over in Israel and he got a call from Tom Brady. And they were talking like they're best friends and they're like, "How you doing?" They have such a strong relationship, stronger than I even imagined. So that's why Tom Brady's going to be here as long as he wants.
Well, that's what we're hearing a little bit. Remember we talked about Dan Shaughnessy the other day in Champlain Valley Game Night, that the relationship between Brady and Belichick isn't so great, that it's Brady and Kraft.
Yes.
And that's why people are wondering if Kraft dictated that Garoppolo get traded.
Eric Dickerson insinuated or kind of hinted around that the reason that Kraft understands how much Tom Brady's made him, you know, not just based on Super Bowls and, you know, the worth of the Patriots, that it's, you know, through the roof. That's why he's loyal to him. Yeah, Jason.
But there's a difference between having gratitude and respect and being friends with him. I mean, there's gratitude and respect with Belichick and Brady, but they're not friends. There's a difference in how you view the relationship.
I think they've done a good job at keeping that coach-player relationship. And I don't know that it would even – I'm not saying inappropriate, but it wouldn't be normal if the coach and the quarterback were buddy-buddy.
So what happened? They didn't offer him a contract or what?
So we had heard that Garoppolo was offered a contract on multiple contracts even. And now Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston says it never even got to that point, that any potential talks were rebuffed. And here's what I can't figure out.
Why would there be a contract offer? Wouldn't they just give him the franchise tag and that's pretty much
A contract offer would have saved the Patriots money. Okay. Garoppolo would have made more money with the franchise tag, obviously, right? He would have made 1 year, $27 million.
Right.
If the Patriots signed him, just say a 4-year deal for $60 million, he'd get more money, but not more money up front, and he still wouldn't be playing.
Is that make him easier? Is that you give him a contract to trade him? A 4-year, $60 million contract, then he's more tradable?
Because he'd be long-term. He'd be a long-term asset. But the only thing I can't figure out, the thing I'm trying to wait and see on here, is who's rebuffing who in this supposed negotiations? Does Belichick go to Garoppolo's camp and say, "Look, we would want to extend your – we want to assign your client." And Garoppolo goes, "Nope, if I'm not going to play, that's it. I'm out." Or is it that – Garoppolo goes to them and says, "Look, I want to be here, but I want this kind of money." And at that point, Belichick says, "Look, we can't pay two quarterbacks that money. We're going to have to let you go." Who's rebuffing who here is what I want to know.
I think it's all Tom Yee, right? The agent for...
Don Yee,
the agent for Tom Brady and for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's like, I was going to say, he's bigger than Belichick. Is he not? Of course he's bigger than Belichick. He holds cards to one quarterback, almost 30 teams wanted. The other quarterback, he's the best quarterback in the history of football.
Yeah, but I remember talking with Lee Steinberg before, you know, yeah. the famous sports agent. Jason, have you ever seen the movie?
Show me the money.
Yeah, so he's what Jerry Maguire, the movie, is based on. I remember talking with him about it, and he said, you really have to treat both your clients as independent of each other.
Absolutely.
You have to find them the best situations individually. And so I don't know that Yee is playing Brady and Garoppolo against each other in that way.
No, I would never even assume that. No.
I'm under the impression that the Patriots probably did go to Garoppolo's camp and try to say, look, we would like to keep him here. Here's what we can do. And at that point, Garoppolo's probably like, no, I want to play. And in that case, here's where you and I are going to differ again on this. You spent all summer telling me Garoppolo should hold out. Garoppolo should not report.
Yeah, exactly.
Garoppolo should exercise his leverage.
Should've
all
done
that.
Yeah.
Didn't he if he told the Patriots, I am not re-signing here, didn't he exercise his leverage and maintain a positive look, not being a troublemaker? Look, he didn't have to hold out to get it done.
He may have done it. We don't know when all this happened. It may have happened and they just kept it on the wraps.
But he didn't hold out.
He didn't hold out, but he could have maybe threatened and they said, hey, we're going to take care of this. Just get in the camp. See, that's why when you have the leverage, right, and that's why I was probably right on 100% on that, he should have held out. The only fact that he probably didn't is because Don Yee said, hey, we've got a good working relationship here. Let's work this out. We don't have to have it come to something like that. But a normal person would have forced the hand. He probably didn't force the hand because he didn't want to go to Cleveland and probably thought that's where he ended up. Now we have San Francisco. It's probably a better place, but that's probably why he didn't want to force his hand.
You know, the thing is that, and I know I'm looking at this with – I have a tiny bit of a soft spot for Cleveland. My dad's from Ohio. My dad's a Browns fan. My dad was a Browns fan before they left. He was heartbroken when they left. I watched it all unfold. I have a soft spot for the Browns. I also have a soft spot for lovable losers, right? Like, I know the Mariners haven't made the playoffs in 17 years. That's why, like, last night I was all in on the Buffalo Bills trying to win because I know what those fans are going through. I feel like I know what these Cleveland fans are going through to a degree. I think Cleveland can be fixed. I don't know how, but I feel like it can be fixed. I don't know that San Francisco is that much of a better situation than Cleveland long term.
Sean in Colchester kind of takes a shot of us. I really just want to know what difference does it make? He's gone and the deal is done. Who cares? Move on.
Well, Sean's an Eagles fan, if I'm not mistaken, and we'll get to your boys later, keep listening.
But I think people care about who's the one that is calling the shots. I mean, you always want to know, you know, with the Cowboys, when I was in Dallas, is it Jerry calling the shots? Was it Steve and his son calling the shots, taking over for him? You know, who exactly was making the trades out there? Did they really take the card away from Jerry Jones and said Johnny Manziel on it? Yeah. People, what are you kidding? People, that's all people wanted to talk about.
Oh, I believe that.
Pulled the card from Johnny Manziel. It was everything. So, no, I think people care about it. Yes, he's gone and it's going to move on, but we do want to know who's the one that pulled the trigger on that.
Sean says, excuse me, Brady, I'm a Cowboys fan. Don't insult me like
wow.
that. We have another Sean who's an Eagles fan. Sorry. Yes, another Sean in Colchester who's an Eagles fan. I apologize.
And being a Cowboys fan is a terrible decision anyways.
Well, you're a Giant fan.
Yeah, we're Giant
I never
fans.
Said it's working out well this season.
Well, I'm mostly a Dolphin fan now, so I have to.
You're back on the Dolphins.
What about the Chiefs?
I'm off the Chiefs bandwagon now.
There's plenty of room.
Just on the dollar. The Chiefs haven't won a playoff game in how long since Len Dawson. I think it's when he was the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's how bad it is. Brady, let's go ahead and finish off hour number one. What do we got coming up next segment?
We'll talk about which NFL games you want to watch this weekend and what else you're watching this weekend.
All right, that's next right here. Oh, he sneezed. It's in tight. Right here on 101.3 ESPN. All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Real quick, I don't know who put the tweet out. I know it's somebody.
Somebody famous. Somebody
Michael,
important.
No, Michael McCann, he's a sports guy on lawn, something like that.
Okay.
Only reason I bring this up is now it's finally hit me what exactly is going on with the Ezekiel Elliott case.
He's going to play all year?
Well, the reason is, you wonder is why didn't he take a six-game suspension so he could be back in time for the playoffs, blah, 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 and they could be ready for the playoffs and all that. Well, Michael McCann just tweeted out, Ezekiel Elliott's suspension letter states, quote-unquote, regular season games. Doesn't state playoffs. Though the NFL just said, you know what? We're going to amend that. It also can carry into the playoffs if you wanted to. And this attorney's going, no. You said regular season games. So they're thinking.
So if he pushes it out.
If you can't get more, seven more games in, they can't suspend them for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on here. So I'm like, why just finish out the six? Let's get it done with. He thinks if he can go ahead and just get to the end of the season, he's golden and he'll do the next six for next year. So there you go.
Well,
there you
maybe
go
so. Now. I'm just so uninterested in the Ezekiel Elliott
saga. A lot of people.
Now.
Yeah, I know that. A lot of people. I saw that. But yeah,
I just figure he's going to play all year. Yeah. I just figure he's going to play all year, and that's
you.
That.
Yeah. All right. Now, what games are this weekend? What's going on?
So a lot of good games this weekend. It feels weird because it's not a Patriots weekend. So I'm kind of like I started thinking to myself, oh, hey, what are we going to watch this weekend? I think there's three really good games. I think there's three really good NFL games. First is Chiefs Cowboys. I mean, I am excited for that one. You're going to see Ezekiel Elliott play. You're going to see the Chiefs hard hitting defense. That offense for Kansas City is explosive at times. Great tight end play in Witten and in Travis Kelce. I'm excited for that. Broncos Eagles. The Eagles, we think they're for real, but are they for real against arguably one of the top three defenses in the league? And how does Brock Osweiler look after being relegated to, you know, what he's been relegated right. to? And Redskins Seahawks, I think, is going to be good. The Seahawks are going to play without Earl Thomas. How does Kirk Cousins do in another big game situation as he tries to prove his worth?
Those are the best of the games. A couple of the things I want to watch. I mean, obviously, I want to see what the Texans do without Deshaun Watson. I want to see. By the way, I think they still crush Indianapolis because the team kind of rallies together and they're on a high or something. But anyway, I want to see what they do offensively. And going back to old school, I mean, the Dolphins and the Raiders are old school rivals. Back in the day, man. I mean, you can go back to Stabler and all that stuff with the Raiders. So I'm actually looking forward to that one too. That's going to be a lot of fun. And even though I'm a Dolphin fan, I'm going to watch that one anyway. And Lions Packers, I think it's going to be a good one also.
Off the NFL, I'm excited for tonight. How about Celtics Thunder tonight? 9:30. That game's going to be on ESPN. The Celtics have won six straight now. I mean, they're 6-2. They're the first team ever to win six in a row after dropping their first two.
I'm surprised. I thought they were going to like be a 500 team to start things off. I thought it was going to be real tough.
And they're playing very well. I mean, their defense has been phenomenal. What they gave up the other night, 86 points or whatever. Their defense is one of the tops in the league. And you're going to see Russell Westbrook play in prime time. I'm excited for that tonight. And you got big college games too.
What do you mean big college games?
Big college games to watch this weekend. Michigan.
Oh, this weekend, yeah. I think it's going to be upset Saturday. It's going to be crazy, and it all tops off with my Arizona Wildcats against USC. I never thought, you know, I did a show, my network show, 250 million people per show there, by the way, or per month, excuse me, where Arizona, I pretty much said the season's over when they lost to Houston. They had their second loss. Was it Houston or it might have been the game to Utah? And I said, well, there goes my football season. And they turned it around, got a new quarterback who, by the way, I'm not going to make a case for him for the Heisman, but he certainly could make a little bit of a run for that. He's been tremendous. I mean, Khalil Tate is, I mean, just so exciting. It's not even funny. It's crazy.
You know, real quick before we break, yeah. I know, and I'm going to have Phil Steele, college football expert, yeah. on in Champlain Valley Game Night. I know you're going to do this on the national show. How wrapped up into the first set of college football playoff rankings do you get? I get zero into it because it's going to be so different in 6 weeks.
No, I'm wrapped up into it. I don't know why. I didn't expect Georgia to be number one.
Well, just because everyone knows Bama would be favored.
I would have put Alabama number one, but I'm okay with it. Again, I think Notre Dame's the one team that's going to be in no matter what. I think they beat Miami. They beat Stanford. I think they have Wake Forest. And they have another patsy. They have five games left. The only two tough games was the Miami and the other one I mentioned. So I think Notre Dame will be the team that's going to be in there. I think Alabama will be in there. And I guess the only question is, will we see two teams from the SEC along with the independent Notre Dame and then somebody from the Big Ten? Or will there be two Big Ten teams in, like a Penn State?
Maybe you can
get
Washington from the Pac-12 to jump up.
Washington, I think the Pac-12 is going to be left out. I think the Pac-12 is going to be on the outside looking in.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, because Washington really doesn't deserve it. Their honest conference schedule has been hideous. They should be ashamed of themselves. And the committee sent the message, you're going to schedule patsies like that. That's what you're going to get. We're going to go ahead and punish you. So there you go. Hour one of the books. Jason's going to have a SportsCenter update. Brady, what's coming up in hour number two of the show?
Thomas Juneau, he's going to join us. He co-wrote the article, really interesting article on Tom Brady, the TB12 method,
yeah.
Brady, Belichick, Kraft, all of the above. And that's coming up next.
All right, stick around for that. Jason with the SportsCenter update. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
WCPB, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
This is Anthony Lamb of the University of Vermont men's basketball team.
This is Trebo Haynes of the University of Vermont men's basketball team.
And you can catch us all season long right here on 101.3 ESPN. Go Cats!
If you're wondering why you don't hear Rich, it's because I'm in for him today as Brady slid over a chair. Rich currently in the car, or somewhere thereabouts, getting ready to call the Division I football semifinals as Milton travels to Fairhaven. We'll have it over on our sister station 960 The Zone beginning at 7 o'clock. After that, Kyrie Irving marches against Russell Westbrook. Celtics, by the way, have won six straight. Oklahoma City's 4-3. They've won their last two. Division I state championship soccer tomorrow at Burlington High School, first at 10 a.m. in the boys' tilt. St. Jay and South Burlington go at it. In the girls' game, it's undefeated CVU. They're 16-0, looking to knock off defending champ Burt and Burton. Tomorrow, UVM plays its last dress rehearsal on 101.3 ESPN. They'll take the court against St. Mike's. Pregame goes at 6:30. Over on 960, the Bruins skate against the Caps at 6:30. Hour two of the huddle coming right up. This is 101.3. ESPN.
Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You know, yesterday we spent a pretty extensive amount of the show talking about the interesting, insightful, revealing article on the Patriots, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft. Everything on ESPN.com comes out in just a couple of weeks in ESPN, the magazine. So I had to track down one of the co-authors of that article, and we have done that. We have Thomas Juneau on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. He co-wrote the piece with Seth Wickersham. Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing great today.
Well, Thomas, it was a really insightful article. It was long, but it was well worth the time. And I just want to ask you, what was the thing you were trying to accomplish most with the piece, and what were you trying to share most with the audience?
Well, basically, I think that we were trying to get across to the audience what a big bet this is on Brady's part and on the Patriots' part. I mean, you know, Brady talks about playing till he's 45, and people are like, oh, well, you know, he's Brady. He can do that. And so this story is about all those factors, about, like, really how big a bet that is. I mean, no one's ever done this before. This is terra incognita, and Brady's, you know, striding into it like it's, you know, like it's a matter of fact thing to do. And in fact, it goes against nearly everything we know now about the NFL, which is that it catches up to you. Brady's basically saying, no, it's not going to catch up to me. And I mean, he says that outright in his book. And it's an amazing thing to watch.
And you guys took a lot of pieces from his book as well. And I thought it was really interesting how up high in the story you pretty much pointed out that, oh, by the way, for his method to be proven right that it works, he has to play and play successfully into his mid-40s.
Yeah, right. I mean, basically, he is sort of saying that he is more than a football player, you know, that he is going to transcend football. But in order to transcend football, he has to keep on playing football. I mean, he says in the book, and we quote him, that he is the test case for this method of fitness and mental preparation that he is describing in his book. He is the guy. And I think that the real question is, I mean, you know, Brady talks about, like, wanting to start a mass movement with this thing. But the question is does this apply to everyone? Does this apply to you and me? Or does this apply only to Tom Brady?
Thomas, I think the other thing that was interesting is that there are other members of the Patriots who are using some of his methods as well, Julian Edelman, Dante Hightower, and they all got hurt. So were you supposed to believe that the TB12 method doesn't work, or he's better at it than everybody else, or somewhere in between?
Well, that's the question. I mean, he is, you know, I mean, Brady always tells, you know, the story of the guy from humble beginnings, you know, the guy who was picked 199th in the draft, the guy who started out at Michigan as the seventh quarterback, the guy who was never expected to start at New England. And he always tells that story as if, you know, as if like he's one of us. In fact, he's not. You know, I mean, listen, I've watched that guy for a long time. Everybody who's listening to the show who has watched that guy for a long time, he is a singular talent and a singular human being. And you know, the stuff that he's talking about, the TB12 method, does not necessarily apply to everyone.
Thomas Janot of ESPN, ESPN.com, and ESPN the magazine. He's here with us on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. What did you learn most while writing the piece?
I mean, you know, basically what I was just saying. I mean, even if you look, I mean, this is a guy that goes to bed at 9 o'clock at night. You know, this is a guy who wakes up at 6 and begins drinking water. This is a guy who drinks what, like a minimum of 2 gallons of water a day. I mean, have you ever tried to drink 2 gallons of water in a day?
No.
You know, that, like, does that, what it does to you, it's like a completely different way of living. And, you know, I mean, you know, and I don't want to sound like a jerk here, but I mean, this is the guy who goes to 9 o'clock, you know, to bed at 9 o'clock at night, you know, and he's married to like the world's preeminent supermodel, you know, so he's, you know, he's very disciplined. Let's say that. So I think exactly, you know, who he is and what that method means as a human being is what we learn the most.
Some people are taking different spins on the article since it came out, talking about, I heard someone say that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick aren't that close. It's only Tom Brady and Robert Kraft. What did you learn about their relationships through this piece?
Well, I mean, I don't really know if Tom and Bill are close. I mean, I think that they've had more of a working relationship than anything else. You know, what I do know is that the person who Brady is closest to is his, you know, fitness consigliere, Alex Guerrero, and that, you know, creates complications between him and Belichick.
In what way? I had Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, on Wednesday, and he said that he's a witch doctor and a fraud, and Belichick can't stand this guy. What? Where's the line of truth in that statement?
I think that you know, I mean, he's I'm here in Atlanta. He's there in New England, and you know, there's nothing that I've heard that contradicts that statement. No matter what you think of, you know, of Alex Guerrero, but I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Belichick was asked about Guerrero's role on the Patriots, you know, and Belichick answered in the most Belichickian way possible. No, he has no role on the staff, period. And, you know, I don't think that he would have said that if he, you know, had sort of warm and fuzzy feelings toward Alex.
I guess then one of my big questions is, how is a guy who is so disciplined, who's so regimented, how does this guy associate himself with somebody that other people have kind of this sleazy feeling about?
Because I think that Brady's a believer. I think that Brady's whole career is built on this edifice of self-belief. And I don't think that Brady has a cynical or disbelieving bone in his body. I mean, I don't look at the TB12 method as something that, you know, he is selling without believing in it. I think he believes in it totally. And I think that belief is sort of the gasoline in his tank. I think it's what keeps him going. And I think in Guerrero, he found someone to believe in. I mean, it worked for him. It works for him. And I think that basically that's why. I mean, I think that he is a person who has faith in himself and because of that has faith in other people.
Thomas Janot of ESPN with us here on The Huddle. Another interesting piece of this article, and there were many, is the reported comments that Bill Belichick made to his friends that he wanted to coach Jimmy Garoppolo and he thought he could win a championship with Jimmy Garoppolo. So just when you heard that, what was your take?
Well, I mean, other than surprise, I mean, we were surprised. You know, I think that in a lot of, I mean, there's a couple of different things that we took away from it. Number one, that, you know, for this, that Brady won, you know, essentially. I mean, Brady, I think, has been asking for the Patriots to put, you know, complete faith in this and in him, and that, you know, that he can play until he's 45, like he says. And I think that, you know, that he won that. I mean, I think that Garoppolo was in there to compete with him and wasn't there to press him. And I think something must have happened internally to bring this to a head and to so that Brady either won or lost, and he won. And so the Patriots now, I don't know, I haven't really looked. Have they signed anybody?
Yeah, Brian Hoyer got signed just a couple days ago.
Okay, so that's so you have a 40-year-old quarterback of, you know, unparalleled excellence backed up by the very definition of a journeyman. Their future is with this guy who is you know, pressing into a future that no one has ever really accomplished before. It's a really interesting thing to watch.
Thomas, we'll get you out of here on this. A lot of people, now your article was well in the works. It was nearly done prior to the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. But you guys updated it to reflect the trade as well. Did you get the sense, or do you get the sense, based on what we just said, that there was some edict from Robert Kraft to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, or Bill Belichick said, look, the writing's on the wall here, and as much as I like Garoppolo, this is where we're going, so we might as well try to get something for him?
I think that both things could be right. To be honest with you, I mean, I think that that's clearly was what was happening. That that they were having trouble signing Garoppolo, and that they they wanted to get some value. But I think that the dynamics behind that trade are much larger than that. I don't think that it's necessarily just a conventional we need to get some value for this guy. I think it's bigger than that.
Thomas Juneau, ESPN, ESPN.com, ESPN the magazine, co-wrote the piece with Seth Wickersham on Tom Brady, the TB12 method, Brady, Belichick, Garoppolo, all of the above. Really insightful piece. We'll have a link to it on our website when we put up this interview as well. Thomas, we appreciate the time. Great work. It was a fun read, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me on.
Good job there, Brady. Thomas Juneau of ESPN the magazine. Where's Hard Knocks when you need it? Wouldn't it be great if you have could you imagine Belichick on Facebook on Facebook Live going, all right, everybody, this is Bill here. Come follow me because we're about to walk over to Jimmy Garoppolo and tell him live that he's been traded. And we're not going to tell him. We'll all tell him what team it was, and we'll all learn together. Would you not watch that as like reality television? I mean, seriously, would you? That's like Hard Knocks to the ultimate level. Would that not be great or what, Brady?
So you... The Patriots won't ever be on Hard Knocks.
I know that. But that's the problem. They should do that. Like before you trade people, say, we've got a trade, and then we can go to a live camera shot. And then they say, all right, we're going to bring him in right now. People would love to see that.
You know the rules for being on Hard Knocks? There's like a whole criteria.
Right. You can't, playoffs.
You can't have a first-year head coach.
Right.
You can't have had a playoff berth in the last two seasons, and you can't have appeared at Hard Knocks in the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's too bad.
So the Patriots probably aren't going to be...
When Brady's gone, they'll be on Hard Knocks.
Then they could be on.
But tell me you would not have liked to be in the room watching or, watch it on TV where they told them.
I bet it was just a phone call.
You know what? Do we know who told them? Did Don Yee tell them? Did they call Don Yee and he called them? Did they bring him into the office?
I have to imagine Belichick would have called him at least. Belichick is the GM or the head of player personnel also.
I got to be honest with you. If they didn't. If this was during the day and they didn't bring him into the office, I'd be a little disappointed in the Patriots.
That's true. It's a good point.
I mean, and if it was at night, okay. I don't think they called him.
It probably did happen in person. You're probably right.
No. I said they probably called Don Yee and told Don, hey, we're trading your client, and this is the way it's going to be. You better give him a call right now before it hits the wires or before the rest of the – I don't know. We should find that out. I'm kind of curious who told him that.
What did you think of that interview?
I thought it was very good.
I liked that.
I usually don't like writers, and I know you're a writer type guy.
When you think about Brady, it's hard. Like when I think about Brady, I think partly of what he said, of what Thomas Juneau said, like, wow, this guy, the ultimate belief. He's just a believer and all that. Part of me feels like he's trying to be like a shady used car salesman selling me his method. Like, this works only for him.
The reason I don't buy into that is because, did he not decide to use that at Michigan? And we've all seen the infamous picture of him, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? If people don't know what we're talking about.
Where he looked like Jason.
Yes. Well, yes. But when he had boxer shorts on the NFL Combine?
Yes.
And he... Really, you want to talk about pudgy is a good word for him because there could have been a lot of other words we could use.
Is that why he looked like me?
Yeah, he was pudgy. He I mean, I looked at him. I wouldn't even – if I didn't know who he was, I would say, cut. I don't even know who you are. I don't care how good you are. You're cut. If, just by looking at it like that, you're cut because you're pudgy and you're pale. That's a double pizza. I'm getting rid of you. But, yeah, I where was all that stuff in college and stuff like that? But, you know, he turned it on.
He's a believer because he met the witch doctor, Alex Guerrero.
How much do you think Giselle has anything to do with this, too?
I think Giselle's pretty controlling of his life, based on what we've heard. So if you're asking me honestly.
Well, he did have a – do we know about his other kid? Was it Bridget Moynihan? And
yes.
Does he – you know – do
has a strong relationship with his kid, and Giselle and Bridget Moynihan have a working relationship in terms of parent, step-parent. They get along fine.
I think Bridget lives in Brentwood, but I'm not sure. Or Tom has a house in Brentwood, California. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but, I don't know. But Giselle and Moynihan have a relationship that's – they're, you know, everyone's welcome in each other's homes and family and all that.
I didn't know Giselle until she married Tom. I didn't know she was some super. Did you know that she was some super mod? I didn't know who Giselle
I had never heard of Giselle.
Yeah, I had no idea who she was. I didn't
but
know.
I didn't, you know, I, you know what? I wasn't big in following the model
circuit. Right. Well, we've heard we've heard of other.
I had heard of
though,
Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
And Tyra Banks,
or whoever's on the cover of SI or something. Yeah. You know,
and Simona Fusco.
And Simona Fusco, who I did the nude scene with. But yes, other than
it wasn't
that,
a nude scene.
Well, semi nude.
Yeah.
Semi-nude.
Well, really? That's about the only kind of nude I'd even want to think about.
You wouldn't
with
you. Wear what I was wearing around the streets out here, that's for sure.
And you Brady, look like boxers with Fred Flintstone patterns
on them. Yeah, exactly. Robin Swan says, hey, the Milton game is D2, not D1. Tell Jason if he's getting paid by the word, at least get the words right. Wow.
See, this is why people don't like you, Rob.
Yeah, Robin Swan gave you that one.
No, I appreciate that. That's my mistake.
No, you don't appreciate it, but you're going to pretend like you do, huh? Did you know you made a mistake or no?
No, I didn't.
Had I known that, I would have stopped the show in mid-sentence.
Maybe if you ever listen to me.
No, I don't listen to the sports.
Anything.
No, I don't listen.
Anything.
Is that terrible? I don't listen to anybody?
Yeah. Well, at least they're not like Rich. Rich, the other day at commercial break, went out to the – to the hallway and talk to people and miss the start of the segment.
No, you know what's funny is you were talking, I forget what you were talking about, and Rich goes, oh yeah, but what about this? And he just repeated the same thing you said.
Yeah, I know. You've done that too, though.
I've done that so much, it's not even funny. I've done it like crazy, unbelievable. All right, we want to get the ESPN qualifier, do we not?
That's right. This is your last chance. This is your last chance to qualify. We are going to ESPN Friday, November 17th, and we want one of you to come with us. So you and a guest going to come with us to ESPN headquarters in Bristol. You're going to hang out with who we hang out with. You're going to hobnob with the ESPN personalities and the stars. You're going to eat in the ESPN cafeteria.
Maybe be in a commercial.
Jason, don't answer those
phones
yet.
Don't answer the phone, Jet.
You're going to.
I was going to pick up and hang up because they're cheaters.
No. Yeah. Maybe we'll do caller 100 today.
You're going to hang out with. You're going to hang out with the stars. You're going to meet who we meet. You're going to join the huddle that day. You're going to sit in on the huddle in CVGN. You're going to get the tour of the facility. It's pretty good stuff. So let's take caller number 8 right
Why
now.
Why 8? You know, when I worked at KBIG 104.3, I used to have to count out 104.
Fine. Caller number 11.
Okay, caller 11. There
caller
you go.
Caller 11 can get it, and it's all thanks to our friends over at Kevin Smith Sports.
Jason's going to be answering the phone when we get back, though. Brandon Lang's going to stop on by. We'll get to our picks and see who he likes. All that's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Brady, we go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us, as he does every week, you can check him out at BrandonLang.com. That's BrandonLang.com. It's our buddy, it's Brandon Lang. How you doing, Brandon?
What's up?
Hey, right off the bat, I got to ask you, I'm so intrigued. Terrible, terrible injury to Deshaun Watson. I mean, just horrible. How does that affect the game? I mean, did it open up at 14? Now it's down to 6.5? Am I reading that right? Did it go down earlier? That's just a terrible blow for the Texans. But how did it affect the line there, Brandon?
Yeah, the line was 12.5. It's now went down to 7, and now they bet Indianapolis, and it's currently 6.5. So he's worth 6 points. And I think that is absolutely unbelievable for a rookie quarterback who didn't even start the year. Yeah. That's how good he was playing, that he's worth 6 points. That tells you right there the value of the offensive numbers, the 4 touchdown games, his command of their offense. and it shows you just what a buffoon Bill O'Brien is for even thinking about starting Tom Savage. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Do you guys, in a sense, do you say, we just stay away from the game? You say, wow, we just got 6 points. We're going to jump on it. Do you go on the other side? Like I said, do you just stay away from something like this?
I think Indy's garbage. I think Indy's absolute garbage. You know, and last week it just goes to show you how garbage Cincinnati is to struggle with that Colts team. Seriously, Indy is garbage. Jacoby Brissett. They're and I'm saying that because they buried me on Monday night with the Derrick Henry run. So now teams that do that, I root against them every week. I root against Kirk Cousins every week for the fumble, bumble, stumble, BS in the Monday night game against KC. They're on my hit list. Colts are on my hit list. I hope Texans win that game 79-7.
Well, as much as you want that to be the case, I'm going to just go with that game first. I'm going to go under 45.5. I think the offense for the Colts is bad. I think the offense for the Texans isn't going to look so great in this first week without Watson. This game's got 17-9 written all over it to me. I'll go under 45.5. What do you say?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, Houston's defense can be had, but, you know, I don't think they're going to let Tom Savage wing it around the yard like they did Deshaun Watson, so I think you're on the right side there.
All right, I like Philadelphia. I'm going to lay the 7.5. I think Denver is hot garbage. With Philadelphia at home, and we've seen the points they can put up, they're on a roll. I think that roll continues. I got to go with Philadelphia in this one.
Negative Ghost Rider.
No!
That pattern is full.
Wow.
Here's why.
Yeah.
Brock Osweiler was 5-2 as a starter for the Denver Broncos. You're given a really good defense, 7.5.
Yeah.
A defense that, for all intents and purposes, won that Monday night game against Kansas City. Kansas City was outplayed by Denver. Denver gave KC 5 turnovers, and you still had to sweat that game late. That's how good Denver's defense played in that game. You give a team 5 turnovers in their house, and they're only able to manage 3 scores off us. Remember, the other score was a fumble return for a touchdown. You think about that. That Denver defense played its butt off. Philly is due for a letdown. They go into their bye week. They got Dallas waiting for them on the other side of the bye week. I think this game goes right down to the wire. Philly gets tested. Take Denver plus 7.5.
Brandon, everything in my fiber tells me to not pick a team that's 1-6. But I might be a sucker. But after seeing what the Jets did to the Bills last night, I think I'm going to go Giants plus 3.5 against the Rams. They're at home. They're coming off the bye week. Internal strife. Maybe it bands them together. Cold weather. Going to be raining out on the East Coast. I'll go with the Giants, even though I feel like a sucker.
You're a sucker.
Yeah.
You're a really big sucker. You're such a big sucker that you walked into a strip bar and made the worst move most suckers make.
Wow.
And that's the first girl that walks up, they grab you by the hand and say, come on, and you let them drag you into the champagne. And that's what you're doing right here. You're letting the Giants grab a hold of you and take you right to the champagne room. Don't go to the bar. Don't get a beer. Don't let every girl in the place walk by you, see the lay of the land, see the talent, see who your number one draft pick is, and then once you find your number one draft pick, you don't go to the champagne room, you go to the lap dance room first. You, my friend, are a sucker. Defensive line, get after Eli. Seattle went in there and beat him 24-7. Rams out of the bye week, fresh, ready to go. Rams, -3. Make sure you buy the half.
Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com. Check it on out. Brandon, Kansas City, Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott scoring the play. I don't know if that affected the line as of today. Last thing I saw was Kansas City getting 2. Look, I feel they're the better team. I hate to go ahead and play in Dallas, but I'm going to get 2 points. I know that's not a whole heck of a lot. Pretty much a pick-up game in this, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs to go ahead and take the 2.
Handicapping 101 will teach you one thing.
Yes.
If you're going to go on the road and win in the NFL, you've got to do one thing really well. And what is that one thing?
Play defense.
Yes, but within that, what do you do?
Stop the run.
Yes, and that's the one thing Kansas City cannot do right now.
Uh-oh.
They got gashed by Denver in their own house. And I assure you, my friend,
yeah,
Ezekiel Elliott's going to play. He's going to run for literally 390 yards, seven touchdowns. I'm going Dallas minus 2.5.
All right, a couple more games. Go ahead,
Brandon. I'll go to Monday night. I know it's Brett Hundley. I know it could be cold weather, but I'll say I like Detroit's offense. I'm going to go the over in this game, 43.5. I think Detroit's defense not so great. Detroit's offense pretty good. I think this ends up being a back-and-forth affair, over 43.5.
Man, that's a tough call. That's a really tough call. I don't know if you can trust it in that situation. I don't know. They went into Minnesota divisional game that finished 14-7. Detroit's defense matches up well with Hundley. Their offense, Jim Bob Scooter, Pooper Hooper, Scooper Pooper. I don't think I can trust an offensive coordinator with two first names. You saw the implosion Sunday night against Pittsburgh, not kicking the field goal on fourth and one in the third quarter and end up coming back and biting them. Good luck with that one. I got no opinion whatsoever.
All right, Brandon, Oakland is going to be at Miami. Last game here. Old school rivalry back in the day with Stabler and the whole crew. I'm going to take the Dolphins plus the 3. Not looking good last week. I think they bounced back 3 points at home. How can you even trust the Raiders? Dolphins might not even need the 3. I think they win the game outright. I'll take the Miami plus the 3. What do you think, Brandon?
You know me. I gave out the Jets on my free pick video last night. Home
That's
dog
right.
plus 3. I just literally tell people, you get that home dog plus 3 in the NFL, you almost got to take it. They figure out ways to get it done. Buffalo had all the mojo in the world. I think you're on the right side there. Oakland, 5 of 6 losses over the last 6 games. They stayed in Bradenton, Florida. My buddy works at the Ritz-Carlton where they're staying. I'm going to take the home dog plus 3.
All right.
Brandon, how about you just said home dog plus 3, but I give you the Giants plus 3.5 at home. You call me a fool. So which one is it?
Here's the big difference, though. You have a losing team laying that 3 where you have the number one offense in the NFL, 5-2, laying that 3. There's your difference. I would never trust a losing team laying 3 on the road against anybody. Anybody. And if you want to know about the Jets last night, the Jets were 5-0 as a home dog this year. What have the Giants showed you this year that leads you to believe they're going to cover this number if they couldn't cover it against Seattle? Seattle has one of the worst offenses in the NFL, beat them 24-7. Now you have the highest scoring offense in the NFL, and one of your starting corners is suspended for doing something stupid. It just sets up well of being the right side of the game. You can't trust a 1-6 team going against the number one offense in the NFL and the defensive line that's flat out got after it.
Brandon, what are they going to get when they go to BrandonLang.com?
Well, we hit 150 dimer on Saturday. Iowa State outright over TCU. We're going to try for number 2 in a row on Saturday and 6 of the last 7. And if you sign up today, you can get Saturday or Sunday free as well. So you get that 150 dimer, number 2 in a row. One day free all access pass, 8 to 10 best bets over the next 2 days. $1,000 value, absolutely free. Looking for a 4th straight winning week. Let's see if we can get it done.
Brandon, give us a college pick that's a home run, because last week he gave us Virginia and they lost. I need to do me right this week.
A lot of big games this week, Brandon.
Tom Herman, going back to his days at the University of Houston, is 8-0 as an underdog as a coach. He's catching 7.5 at TCU. Jump on Texas. All they do is cover the dog. He has not failed yet to cover as a dog. Get on Tom Herman plus the points.
All right, Brandon. Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, always good to speak to our Vegas insider, Brandon Lang. Have you seen Two for the Money, the movie that was made about him?
No, but I've talked to Brandon Lang so many times, I feel like
I've seen that movie.
Have you? With Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey plays Brandon Lang. I don't know, who would play me? I guess Matthew McConaughey, too, would probably play me.
No, who would play you is...
Kevin James from The King of Queens.
if you had hair, it would be Kevin James.
Oh, when I had hair, people used to think I was Kevin James double. I'm being honest on that.
I'm sorry.
I don't look like anybody.
I don't think
being bald.
I don't think anybody could play you.
Yeah,
I think you could play the Despicable Me villain if it ever went to non-animated form.
You know, it's so funny. I said Jason looks like
Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
Does he not a young Peter Griffin?
And I was told by somebody at work that I remind them of George Costanza. So
You do have a little George Costanza in you.
If you went bald, then you could be like George Costanza.
Yeah, but no, when I go bald.
If Peter Griffin, if they did a non-animated show on that, you could play Peter at a younger age. I really believe that. There's
you
no doubt
could
that.
Play the guy from Despicable Me.
Really? I know. I've never heard that before. I mean, jeez.
Who would Brady be?
I don't know. Who's tall?
Somebody tall, dark, and handsome.
Easy there, George
I could play
Clooney.
The basketball player.
Easy, George Clooney. Let's not get too crazy
play
on
the
that.
Basketball player.
I could play the athlete.
Yeah, you'll play the and yeah in any movie. You'll play. You ever see the movie I told you about from the Golden State Warriors? The guy that had
yes, I play the. I play the good looking one.
Yeah,
in most movies with you.
We got Power Play, the new and exciting game, a sweep of the country coming up. Brady, you only really gave like 9 questions, and the 10th one's like a gimme, is what you
Yes,
did.
The 10th one is a gimme. But I will, I have to tell people also,
yeah.
Remember, Movember started this week. No Shave November started this week. We've got our partnership with the Vermont yep. Beard and Mustache Company. Eric, I'm going to butcher the last name, Eric Levusser.
Yeah, Levusser.
He is our beard of the day for the day. So you can go to Facebook, 1013.
We get a lot of entries on
Yeah, 1013 ESPN on Facebook. Post a picture of your beard. Basically, you're raising awareness for men's health. Also, the best beard at the end of the week is going to win a kit from Vermont Beard and Mustache Company, the great beard conditioner as well, the shave oil for when you are ready to shave. It's good stuff. It's all, you know, it's all made right here in Vermont. So appreciate them for the month.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get on in on the Facebook page.
All right. We did true false for Power Play last week, and we didn't get a winner. And we really one of the questions was football was played on a football field, true false. And we must have went through 8 calls, 9 calls, and we couldn't get a winner, which is embarrassing to you guys because we've dumbed it down, and you've done it again. We've made it true-false, did we not, Brady? It's true-false, and we even took a question away to make it 9+1.
Yes, it's true-false, and Donald from Georgia says Arnie looks like Lurch from the Addams Family.
Oh, I can see a little of that. I get to, but I'm not tall though. Lurch was the tall one, right? Lurch is you could be Lurch, Brady. That's a good one for you. Maybe you meant to send that in for you. But anyway, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. So start dialing now. We dumbed it down. It's true, false, and it's about the show. So if you listen to the show every day, or not even every day, if you listen like once a year, you should be able to get them right. So 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. $25 gift card. Thanks to our friends over at Eco Bean and Greens in the Blue Mall. They are sponsoring Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Start dialing now because we may get a winner within 2 calls, Brady. That's how we.
I'm predicting 5, but let's do it. Let's go to break so Jason can answer the phone.
Answer the phones. We'll be right back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The new and exciting game that's sweeping the country. This is Power Play, brought to you by Eco Beans and Greens. Hearty-sized portions with a mouthful of flavors in the Blue Mall, South Burlington.
All right, it's time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. Thanks to our friends over at Eco Bean and Greens in the Blue Mall, the sponsor Power Play. Let me tell you how do we play the game. We ask you a question. If you get that question wrong, you will go ahead and hear this. And we move on. If you come on and go, wait a minute, you're going too fast. We don't care. You'll still hear this. And we move on. If you come in and go, wait a minute, you guys got question 4 wrong. We don't care. You'll still hear this. And we move on. If you get a question right, we ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, it is really 9+1. You would get a $25 gift card thanks to our friends over at Eco Bean and Greens in the Blue Mall. They are the new sponsors of Power Play. Now, we dumped it down last week, and we still didn't get a winner. We're just going with true-false. So, Brady, if I said to you that the Patriots do not have a game this week, you would say?
True.
Oh, you see, you're very good at the game because they're on the bye week. You're so good at this game. Jason, if I said to you that Tom Brady plays for the Dolphins, you would say?
False.
You are so good at this game. You see, people, that's all you have to do. I will ask you a question, true, false. Don't make it any harder than it's got to be. That's it. You see how easy it was? Brady gets it right every time. Jason gets it right every time.
And I really did dumb it down this time again.
Oh, you dumbed it down. You dumbed it down. So, without further ado, it is time for Power Play. All right, true, false, guys. True, false. It's really very easy. If we don't get a winner like within 2 calls, Brady, we're going to have to stop playing this game. It's getting ridiculous.
You're going to cancel Power Play?
I'm going to cancel Power Play. Patrick in Fairfax is going to start us off. Patrick, are you ready for Power Play?
I'm ready, guys.
What are the 2 answers, Patrick?
True or false?
Okay, well, he's confidence level very high.
He's got a good voice.
Yes.
He can fill in for me next time I'm out.
Jason has been part of the station since March.
False.
Brady's
he was right. Don't do
I'm
that.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Easy
I'm sorry.
There. You're quick on the trigger.
I read it wrong.
Are you still there, Patrick?
I'm here.
Brady says the Red Sox should have traded for Justin Verlander.
Brady says a lot of things, but I'm going to go true.
Oh my goodness.
Brady says a lot of things.
Yeah.
Is that good things, bad things?
I don't know. I'm already
rattled.
According
to the guy who calls in and complains about me,
I
say too many things and they're not good.
I'm already rattled. Oh my goodness. I thought he was going to get them all right there.
My confidence level was high.
It was extremely high. Let's go to Barry. Where's Barry in?
Swanton.
Barry, are you ready for power play? Are you ready for power play?
Yes, I am.
What are the two answers, Barry?
We got true and false.
Confidence level not as high as the last
one. No, I like Barry. Good voice also.
All right, here we go. Brady said the Red Sox should have traded for Justin Verlander.
False.
Jason's been part of the station since March.
False.
How does he have to think about that? I just gave him the answer to that. Field Yates of ESPN comes on every week thanks to Supreme Lending in Essex Junction.
True.
Brady and Arnie play basketball every Wednesday at Williston Central School.
And Arnie loses 20-1 every week.
That's right. True. Yes.
Rich isn't here today because he's on vacation.
True.
Oh my goodness!
How? No! Just because I call it a vacation? No, we told you what he's doing today.
We told you
all day today what he was doing.
What is going on?
Do we have any more?
That opens up
two lines. What are you doing? 802. So everybody thought we were going to get a winner by now. Now we have open lines. 802-655-6672. 655-6672. Look how easy the questions are. And you still can't do it. Who's next up there?
We have Todd, but I don't know where Todd's from.
Todd is in Burlington, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Todd, are you ready for power play?
I'm ready.
What are the two answers, Todd?
True and false.
And where are you from, Todd?
Where are you from?
Rutland.
See, I told you.
That's not Burlington.
Close, very close.
No, not really.
Field Yates of ESPN comes on every week thanks to Supreme Lending in Essex Junction.
True.
Brady says the Red Sox should have traded for Justin Verlander.
True.
Oh, my
goodness. No, hang up on it. What? Well, I don't understand. We just gave the answer to that.
You might have to cancel power play.
Even if I didn't give the answer to that, you should have known the answer to that.
If you've listened to the show at any point in the last 4 months.
At any point in the last gazillion years.
You should know how I feel.
Shame. Shame. You should feel shame. I'm rattled now. I don't even know what I'm doing.
We have Brian in Richmond.
802-655. 6672 802 655-6672 Brian in Richmond. Brian, are you there?
Yeah.
Are you ready for power play?
Yes, true false.
Confidence level not high with this guy. He has a bad connection.
Yes, bad connection.
Yeah. All right, you ready, Brian?
Yes.
Field Yates of ESPN comes on every week thanks to Supreme Lending in Essex Junction.
True.
Brady says the Red Sox should have traded for Justin Verlander.
No, false.
Almost had to hang up on
it. The judges almost had to confer.
Jason has been a part of the station since March.
False.
Brady and Arnie play basketball every Wednesday at the Williston Central School.
Well, I'm going to say true, but you don't play every Wednesday. You play about it.
Oh, he's going to question us now? Well, don't make me hang up on
you. As you said before, we still don't care.
Rich isn't here today because he's on vacation.
False.
Arnie says, let's be safe out there before every show.
False.
Oh God. Are you having problems with the buzzer too, Jason? Hit it one more time. Again. There you go. All right, that opens up a lot. I can't believe, how many calls have we taken? Four now?
We've taken like five.
That's embarrassing, really, people.
Now we've got,
this is embarrassing.
We've got Rich and Shelburne next. Is that secret for Rich Haskell? Is Rich listening and calling in?
Rich?
No. just Rich.
Rich, what are the two answers, Rich?
True and false.
Confidence level high. Right through the roof.
I think Rich is going to go pretty good.
Now, you've heard the answers to the first five questions, so you know those, right?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't even sound confident.
No, he doesn't sound confident about that. Nope.
Jason's been part of the station since March.
False.
Field Yates of ESPN comes on every week thanks to Supreme Lending in Essex Junction.
True.
Brady says the Red Sox should have traded for Justin Verlander.
False.
Brady and Arnie play basketball every Wednesday at the Williston Central School.
Mostly true.
Rich isn't here today because he's on vacation.
False.
Arnie says, let's be safe out there before every show.
False.
Oh, my goodness. You just did that one.
I just gave you that answer, McFly. I don't know what to say. Really, this is like caller 6 or 7. That's shameful. We need to cancel the game. I mean, you guys have the attention span of a gnat. I mean, seriously, I don't understand.
And you know,
I mean, I thought I don't pay attention to you guys.
And you know what's funny?
You don't.
No. You know what's funny is that people say power play is their favorite part of the game,
yeah.
favorite part of the show.
They don't listen to the show. They like the power play part, but they don't like the show, I guess.
Greg in Colchester, I think.
Greg in Colchester, you there, Greg?
I'm here.
Good phone connection. He must be on a landline. What are the two answers, Greg?
True and false.
What, and he took his time. He enunciates very clearly.
Yeah. He's trying to take my spot when I'm on vacation or yours. Holidays are coming.
I'm very proud of him, to be honest with you. All right, here we go. Jason's been a part of the station since March.
That's false.
Brady says the Red Sox should have traded for Justin Verlander.
That's false.
Field Yates of ESPN comes on every week thanks to Supreme Lending in Essex Junction.
That's true.
Brady and Arnie play basketball every Wednesday at the Wilson Central School.
True.
Rich isn't here today because he's on vacation.
False.
Arnie says, let's be safe out there before every show.
True.
We had on former Patriots player this week as a guest.
That's true.
He totally
doesn't know who it is, but that's fine.
That's okay, but he totally guessed. In the last year, we had a former Red Sox player who's in the Hall of Fame on the show.
That's true.
He's still guessing.
He knew that one.
No, I heard that, actually.
Brady's favorite all-time television show is Friends.
Okay, this is a guess. I'm going with false.
Ooh.
Last one. Can you do an Arnie impression on how we start the show?
That'd be false.
No.
Oh, he says false. I can't do it.
No. You have to do an. It's not true. False. You just have to do an Arnie impression on how we start the show.
All right, everybody.
That's good enough. We got a winner.
Hey, finally.
Oh my goodness. Were the questions that hard?
I just had to listen to everybody. Honestly, there was one I really had to get
from. Brady, we're going to have to dumb it down next week. I have more than this.
I just want to hear the Arnie impression one more time.
We can have that on tape. All right, put him on hold. Let me go through the questions here. Jason's been part of the show since March. That is false. When did we hire him? April?
It was actually May, and we got to get his info, so don't hang up.
Don't hang up on him. Brady says the Red Sox should have traded for Justin Verlander. That's false. You've been anti-Justin Verlander.
Yes, anti-money and no prospects.
Field Yates of ESPN comes on every week thanks to our friends over at Supreme Lending in Essex Junction.
That is true.
Brady and Arnie play basketball every Wednesday at the Wilson Central School. That is true. I play every Monday and Wednesday because I dominate.
Oh, that's okay.
Rich isn't here today because he's on vacation. That's false. What's Rich doing today, everybody?
He's out at Fairhaven High School doing high school football, Milton and Fairhaven.
Division two.
Let's see here. Arnie says, let's be safe out there before every show. That's true. At 58 past the hour, 2 minutes before the show, I say, let's be safe out there.
Jason hung up on our winner.
No!
Or actually, intern Logan hung up on our winner, so we need him to call back.
What was his name?
Greg in Colchester.
Greg in Colchester. That's taken from Hill Street Blues. Let's be safe out there.
Really?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yes, taking it from that one. We had a former Patriot on as a guest this week.
That's true. Willie McGinnis.
Exactly. And last year, we had former Red Sox player who was in the Hall of Fame.
That is true because it's Carlton Fisk.
That's right. Your all-time favorite show is Friends. That's false. It's
Seinfeld.
We all know that. But that's a good one. That would have gotten people. And can you do an Arnie impression like that guy did? Close enough, though.
He answered the question correctly. He said he couldn't do one.
Yeah, he could.
Jason, can you do one?
No.
Try it.
Ah, good afternoon, everybody.
No, you got to hold it longer.
Yeah,
it's
longer in the throat.
Yeah,
you got to.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Practice that. You got to practice that. You know what I mean? All right, so there
I'll get
you
right
got,
on that.
There you got the winner for Power Play. Thanks to our friends over at Eco Bean and Greens in the Blue Mall. Remember now, Eco Bean and Greens, perfect place for lunch or for dinner. Whether you're an athlete who's looking for that nutritionally balanced meal after a good workout, or someone like me who's looking for a man-sized portion with big flavors, you've got to try them. They have it all. I'm hooked on the beef barbacoa bowl. It's packed with lots of heat and flavor, I get mine with a smoothie, which I absolutely love. So thanks again to Eco, Bean, and Greens in the Blue Mall in South Burlington, the newest sponsor of Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Last story standing, we'll tell you what we're going to do for the weekends when we get back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, we know what happened to Deshaun Watson, but we don't know the real details of what happened. And
he was running a read option.
He was running a read option. Kareem Jackson went on Pro Football Talk. He went on the podcast, and he went, hey, it was just a normal read option. He kind of kept it, and he was just kind of running. He wasn't even running 100%. He wasn't even running full speed. He was just kind of trotting, and boom, he goes down. He didn't think nothing of it because it didn't even look serious. But your quarterback goes down, everybody kind of hesitates and say, oh, he's going to be okay. He gets up with a usual smile on his face, so it looks like everything's going to be okay. But soon after, they found out that it wasn't going to be okay. You know, usually that's when you're running full speed and you put some torque on or something like that, not when you're just kind of jogging or trotting or something like that, you know?
It's terrible, too, that ACLs are an injury where people get up and walk off from them all the time, and you don't think anything of it, then you find out they're out for the season.
What are we gonna, like, 30 years from now, ACLs are going to be like 2 months to come back from, or no, we're never going to have that type of...
I don't know that the human body could go that fast.
Well,
but
how long is it back 30 years ago? How long did it take to get back from an ACL? A year? Was that a year?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Look at Tommy John. Tommy John is still a year.
Yeah.
10 to 12 months.
Yeah, but it's more defined of a surgery, right? I mean, kids want it now.
I'm just saying the recovery time is still the same.
Yeah, so there you go. Big weekend plans or what? A lot of college football, though.
Yeah, a lot of college football. Let's see. Tonight I'm working. Tomorrow night I'm working. UVM and St. Mike's tomorrow. You can listen to it right here. Not yet. Jess and I usually have a Sunday fun day when it comes to watching football, and she makes a bunch of food, and she's great with that, and I don't make a lot of food, but I eat a lot of the food, and I enjoy that, and we watch football together, and it's great.
Yeah, so I don't know. We're probably going to go out for dinner. I don't know where the hell I'm going to go, but we'll find the place. So
Eco Bean and Greens.
I could go Eco Bean and Greens. That's exactly right. Rich is going to call the game. Milton at Fairhaven. We're going to start that at 7 o'clock. What's coming up at Champlain Valley Game Night?
Champlain Valley Game Night. A couple of really good guests. National guest Phil Steele, ESPN College Football Insider. Mike Howard, AD at Plattsburgh State, will join us also. Talk about the Ryan Leaf talk from the other night up on campus. And also, some pretty big goings-on at Plattsburgh State this week. I'll leave it at that.
Jason, good job. We were paying you by the word, so I'm glad you didn't talk a lot. You know what I mean?
I know you're glad.
Wow, look at you. You hate me now.
Arnie, it's time for you to leave. It's 6 o'clock.
Look at that. He just hates me. Now he's just like, coming up next, it's going to be the Brady and Jason show. So stick around for that. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.